Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful time of worship. And thank you, Stephanie and Blake. And love to hear them sing together. And we love the elder family around here. Tony's our children's director, children and education director, and that was his wife, Stephanie, and his daughter, Blake, and they're such a sweet family. If this is your first Sunday with us at Lizella Baptist Church, thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We don't take it for granted, but we're honored to have you. Do me a favor, if this is your first Sunday, you received a copy of our bulletin from one of our ushers on your way in, our greeters, and if you would fill that out, there's a guest registration tear-off. If you'd fill it out, I'll be hanging around down here at the end of the service. If you'll bring that to me, I'd love to be able to meet you this morning. We're really, truly honored that you're here. This is a big week for our church. We have tonight quarterly conference, nothing major coming up to vote. It's really more of an information time, so if you're curious about some things that are taking place in our future and have some questions that you want to avail yourself to, come tonight to the quarterly conference. Wednesday, church. Thursday, trunk or treat at the ballpark. We're partnering with the Methodist Church next door, and Midway Baptist Church is going to be a part of it also this year, and it starts at 6 o'clock from 6 to 8, and so you come, bring your grandchildren, bring your children, bring yourself, and we're expecting a couple of thousand people to come through there, and so it's a big event for our church, so I hope you'll pray about being a part of it. Then Friday starts the barbecue. We're delivering to businesses somewhere around 1,800 plates on Friday, typically, around 1,200 plates on Saturday, so we need your help. We need you to be involved, and so at the end of this service, if you want to be involved, find Neil and Lisa Henson. Neil, Lisa, where are you guys at? Sitting right back there, you can find Rick, our associate pastor. They'll be happy to tell you how you can be a part of this year's barbecue, because it's all hands on deck, and we need you, and I hope you'll consider to be a part of it. Today is Harvest Offering Sunday. And the tradition of this church, long before I came to pastor, is that we set aside a Sunday in the fall of the year, and we ask our members to give a harvest offering today, which is over and above what you normally tithe or give, in order for us to complete a special project around the church. And so this year, we're asking you to consider giving and supporting sacrificially to the paving of one of our parking lots. Outside of, on this side of the church here, there's a nice paved parking lot, but on the other side of that, between the parking lot here and the grassy area where the park is going to go, is a gravel parking lot. And so we're asking our members to give a special harvest offering today so that we can pave this parking lot. Now, you may think, well, what's the big deal? The issue is, if it rains, or if some of our women are wearing heels, then navigating that parking lot can be treacherous on Sunday morning. And so we're going to ask you if you would consider giving this morning. Paving it is going to be about $46,000. And so our goal today is $40,000 to collect from our generous members here. And so the good news is we have the $40,000. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. And so I would, if I were to be honest and transparent with you, and I try to be that way every Sunday, I consider it a privilege to preach and stand in this pulpit on this stage each and every Sunday. I don't take it for granted, but it's a high honor and privilege for me. But if I were to be transparent with you, I would have to tell you that Harvest Offering Sunday is my least favorite Sunday to have to preach. Because I'm just not comfortable asking you to give money. It's just not something that's easy for me to do. I don't like talking about money. I don't like asking for money. I'm reminded of a little boy who came to the preacher afterwards. The preacher had preached his heart out one Sunday, and so he was in the back, and he was shaking hands with everybody, and this little boy came up to him. He's about 6 years old, and he shook the pastor's hand, and the pastor let go, and he realized there was something in his hand, and he looked, and that little boy put a $5 bill in the preacher's hand, and he said, "Buddy," he said, "why did you do this?" He said, "'cause my daddy said, you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Harvest Sunday, preaching on Harvest Sunday, is not something that is particularly easy for me because I'm not a money guy. You can ask my wife. I'm just not a money guy. I don't really even know what my salary is. I don't know what I have in retirement. That's why God gave me a bookkeeper to be my wife, because God knew that I needed her. And sometimes she'll try to talk to me about finances, and about 2 minutes in, there'll be a little bit of drool coming down the corner of my lip, and she'll say, "You really don't care, do you?" And I say, "No, I trust you. You just do what you need to do." I'm just not a money guy. I don't think about money that often. I rarely talk about money. I don't love money. It's just not a passion of mine. The clothes I'm wearing this morning came from Goodwill. I'm just low maintenance. I'm not really into money. And so it's outside of my comfort zone to stand before you this morning and to say, we need this. Our church needs this. And so I'm asking you to give. Harvest Sunday is a day that the leaders decide what's going to take place. And so in order for us to be the church that we need to be, we ask you to give this morning out of your abundance so that we might be a more effective church for our members and so that we might be a more attractive church for our guest. And so I'm just going to tell you something that I truly believe. How a person reacts to the subject of money or giving on Sunday morning is an indicator to the condition of their hearts. You see, when you get saved and you invite the Lord Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you're instructed to grow into the image and the likeness of Jesus. And so what is the image and likeness of Jesus? The image and likeness of Jesus is that He was a giving, generous Savior. When Jesus came into this world, He came with an attitude of generosity. He came to give Himself to others. One thing I know for certain when I read the New Testament about the Lord Jesus is He was a generous, giving Savior. In fact, He says of Himself, He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." When Jesus talks about Himself coming to the earth and dying on the cross, he says that He willingly, He voluntarily, He sacrificially and freely gave His life for others. It's who Jesus was. He was a giving and generous Savior. One time Jesus said to Himself about going to the cross, He said, "No man takes my life from me, but I give my life. I lay my life down." It's who Jesus is. He willingly came to give His life. In the book of Acts, it's quoted that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." And I read that those words that Jesus said, and I think about Jesus in years past healing a blind man and Jesus laying His hands on that man's eyes and his sight is restored and the blind man can see. And he says, why did you do that, Jesus? And Jesus said, "Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive." I think about Jesus taking a crippled man and laying His hands on that crippled man's legs, and then his legs were restored, and Jesus helped him up to his feet. And the audience around that watched this miracle, and they were so happy, they looked at Jesus and said, "Why did you do that?" And Jesus smiled, said, "Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive." I think about Jesus being outside of the grave of Lazarus. Lazarus has been in the tomb for several days, and Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus stumbles out of that grave. He's gone from death to life, as we sang this morning. And the disciples looked at Lazarus and looked at Jesus and said, "Why did you do that for Lazarus?" And Jesus smiled and said, "Because it's more blessed to give than it is receive." Jesus was, is, and always will be a giving and generous Savior. Not only is the Son of God a generous Savior, but I want you to see God the Father is a generous God. John chapter 3 verse 16 says that for God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son so that we should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. God is a giving God. He was so generous that He gave His very best to this world so that we could be saved, so that we could have eternity in heaven, so we would not have to perish. He is a giving and generous God. In other ways, you think about how God has given to us. You think about all the colors, the vibrant colors that we get to enjoy in this world on a daily basis. God could have easily made everything black and white, and we wouldn't get to enjoy colors. But because God loves us and He's a generous God, He's given us a myriad of colors to enjoy this life to make it more abundant. He's a generous God. You think about all the taste and the flavors that we get to enjoy on a daily basis. There's so many different kinds of foods that we get to eat and so many different kinds of drinks that we get to drink that taste differently, and we get to enjoy it. God did that so that we could experience on a daily basis His generosity. You think about all the trees and the bushes and the plants and the different colors in the fall of the year that we get to enjoy. God did that because He's a generous God. You think about all the sunsets that we enjoy in the evening and the sunrises that we enjoy in the morning, and they all look differently. God did that because He's a generous God. You think about how everybody looks different. We're all uniquely made in the image of God, and we're all different sizes and different shapes and different heights and different hair color and different eye colors, from our lips to our hips to our fingertips. We're made differently. We're uniquely made because God is generous. He didn't want us to all look alike. He's a generous God. He's generous in all things. And so the natural tendency is, when our lives have been impacted by the Son of God and God the Father, then we begin to take on His nature of generosity. We're never more like God the Father, and we're never more like God the Son than when we give, than when we're generous in all things, than when we serve and help others. And so how you react to the subject of giving on Sunday morning displays really the condition of your heart, because there's some here this morning, you heard the topic of today's sermon and you said, man, we picked a bad Sunday to come. Chris just going to talk about money today. He's just going to ask us for money. If that's your attitude today, you may want to examine the condition of your heart, because if you're reflecting the image and the character of the Lord Jesus, then you'll find joy in giving. You'll find delight in giving. You'll find pleasure in giving to the kingdom of God. Because here's the bottom line: the more joyous our Christian experience is, the more generous we become. The more joyous our Christian experience is, the more generous we become. And joy-filled giving equates to joy-filled living. Isn't that what Jesus meant when He said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, He said, "Give, and it shall be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured into your lap. For the measure that you use to give, it will be the measure that you receive." And so God wants us to give. He longs for us to be generous, because when we're generous, it displays the attitude that's in our heart, and it means we're becoming more like Jesus, because He's a generous Savior. And God is a generous God. God is not only interested in what you're going to give this morning, but what God is primarily interested in is how you're going to give what you're giving this morning. See, there's no amount that's so big that it's going to really, really excite God, and there's no amount too small that it's going to disappoint God. God is really concerned about the attitude of your giving this morning. And that's where I want us to see this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you brought your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's talking about our attitude towards giving. And so these are just great verses this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When you're there, say amen. Paul's speaking to the church of Corinth, and he's telling them in chapter 8, and then he's telling them again in chapter 9 that soon I'm going to join you, and when I join you, I'm going to take an offering from you. And so he's preparing them to think about what they're going to give, and he's telling them how they are to give. And so I want us to glean some principles from here, this chapter this morning, about the attitude that we need to have every time that we give. And the first thing I want you to see this morning in this scripture is there needs to be an eagerness in our giving. There needs to be an eagerness in our giving. Look at verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. "There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help. And I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you were in Achaia, were ready to give, your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. So Paul's telling the church of Corinth, he said, I know that you guys are eager to give. I was boasting earlier to the Macedonians about how you're ready to give, how your enthusiasm has now stirred even over to the Macedonians when I was bragging to them about how you're eager to give and ready to give. And so Paul is using some very powerful language in this text. He says, I know you guys are eager to help. I know that you're ready to give your offering. I know that you're enthusiastic about providing support. And so this morning, Lizella Baptist Church, I hope you're ready. I hope you're enthusiastic. I hope you're excited to give your offering this morning, because anytime we get the chance to help and to support and to give to the work of God's kingdom on this earth in this community, it ought to excite us. It ought to motivate us. The reason I'm asking you to give this morning above what you normally give is because this is God's house. This is God's property. These are God's parking lots. And I unapologetically will tell you, I want Lizella Baptist Church to have the best looking buildings and the best looking landscaping and the best looking parking lots of any place in Lizella, Georgia. There ought not to be any business or any buildings that looks better than this God's house. I want it to be the best looking place, and so I make no apologies for asking you to support the work of God's kingdom in this church, because I want this church to have more money so that we can have more resources so that we can touch more lives. I want this church to be the best and brightest thing in this community. You say, Chris, man, take it easy on us. You're asking us to build a park for the church and the community. You're asking us to bring candy for trunk or treat. That stuff's expensive. You're asking us to buy and sell barbecue tickets every week. You're asking us to hire a full-time youth pastor. You're asking us to support Operation Christmas Child. You're asking us to give a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You're doggone right I am, because I want these things for our church. I want Lizella Baptist Church to be the most impactful, to be the most generous church in the world. There's an abundance of churches in this area, in this community, in this nation that are dying. They're not doing anything. They're not building anything. They're not paving anything. They're not hiring any staff members. They aren't reaching their community. They aren't involved in missions. There's plenty of churches in this area that aren't excited and they aren't growing. They aren't enthusiastic about the future of their church. I'm excited about our long history. I appreciate our long history, but I'm much more excited about our bright future. And so unapologetically, I ask you this morning to give generously. There was a church that was, the building was old and dilapidated, and they only had a few members left. People just kept dying off, and the young people kept leaving, and so they had to do something. The church was about to fall in. The ceiling was starting to fall in, and the sheetrock was falling apart. And so one Sunday morning, the pastor stood up before the church, and he pled with the church, he pleaded with them, and said, "Look, y'all got to give. We got to do something about the ceiling." And about that time, the wealthiest man stood up, and he said, "I'll give $1,000. The cost of it was $5,000 to repair. He said, "I'll give $5,000," and about that time a piece of sheetrock fell, hit him on the shoulder. He said, "Make it $2,000. And about that time another piece of sheetrock fell, hit him right on top of the head. He said, "I'll give $3,000. The chairman of the deacon stood up and said, "Hit him again, Lord, hit him again. I'm asking God, hit you again." Be eager this morning. But there's a second principle that Paul gives in these verses. Not only should there be an eagerness in our giving, but secondly, there should be generosity. Paul says in verse 6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously." So Paul is borrowing some terminology here from the world of agriculture, and he says if a farmer is going to produce big crops, then there's got to be big sowing. He's got to sow a lot of seed in order to reap and harvest a lot of crops. And so that's how things operate in this universe. But listen, that's also how things operate in God's economy. We reap what we sow. But listen, we also reap more than we sow. You know, since we moved out to the house in the off Highway 80, and we've got 4 acres, I plant a garden every year. I've planted 3 gardens, so I consider myself a master gardener. I mean, I've arrived, and I'm really there, and I'm growing big, big crops out there. I mean, it's amazing. But I've come to understand if you till the ground, if you till it up really, really good, and then you put your rows down And then you come and you take just a couple of corn seeds. For some reason, I'm thrilled. I love growing corn more than anything else. But you take a couple of corn seeds and you put them down. And about 18 inches, you put two more down. And another 18 inches, you put two more down. Then you cover it. And then you nourish and nurture the soil and water it and provide what it needs. And just in a matter of a couple of months, those seeds grow into a stalk. And then those stalk will oftentimes produce even a couple of ears of corn. A lot of the stalks will have a couple of ears of corn, and each ear will have hundreds of kernels on each corn. So you start by sowing just two seeds, and then all of a sudden you've got a stalk, and you've got two ears of corn. Each ear of corn has hundreds of kernels on. So it's amazing that you don't just reap what you sow, but you reap a lot more than you sow. It's a beautiful principle. So listen, if you give to God this morning, it's going to keep coming back to you, because if you'll sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. You'll reap more than you've sown. And so it's natural for us to want to hold on to things. It's natural for us to not want to give, and we don't have a bent towards generosity, and we want to keep, and we want to save what we have. And there may be even some of you that said, when I said what we're going to do with the harvest offering this morning, maybe there's some of you that said, that's not my thing. I don't even park over there. I've got my parking spot over here, and I park there every Sunday, and I make sure and I get here early so I can have my parking spot. And I don't park over there, so I don't care what they do with that parking lot. So I'm not going to sow generously this morning. I'm not going to sow bountifully this morning. So here's just a little bit of seed. Those same people who will say, here's just a little bit of seed, oftentimes it's those same people who will come to me in 6 months, and they'll say, you know, we just never get ahead financially. We never really get to pay off anything, and it just seems like we're almost got some daylight, and then all of a sudden something tears up, or we have to buy a new refrigerator, or the transmission goes out. Listen, God wants you to prosper, but He's only going to prosper you if you will sow bountifully into His kingdom. If you'll do that, then you will reap bountifully. If you don't sow, you won't grow. The more you sow, the more you grow, and the more joy comes into your life. And so you keep sowing and you keep growing. If you don't sow, you're never going to harvest. It says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds, but comes to poverty. A lot of us are so influenced by this world's thinking. We believe that if we withhold the gifts that God gives to us, and we don't give as the Lord instructs us to in His Word, and we believe that we're enriching ourselves by robbing God, but in reality, we're impoverishing ourselves. We're robbing ourselves of the blessings of God. And God says, I want to bless you. I long to open the floodgates of heaven in your life, but you're robbing me because you're holding on to things with a clenched fist. And if you'll just open your fist and allow my resources to flow in and to flow out, if you'll recycle what I give you into the kingdom of God and help to grow my kingdom on the earth, if you'll just have an open hand, then I'll bring resources in and resources can flow out, and you'll be much more joyful. Because if you live life with a clenched fist, it's exhausting. And so don't rob yourself of what God wants to bless you with and what God wants to do in your life, because the law of the harvest, it's consistent. If we don't plant, we don't harvest. If we don't give, it's not given back to us. But if we give freely, the Bible says we gain even more. I love what it says in verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. It may be that you were thinking about your harvest offering and God put a figure in your heart or in your mind. You thought, Lord, I can't do that. God says, no, this is what I want you to give. I want you to trust me. I want you to test me. I want you to try me. Our giving must be heartfelt. It must be genuine. Verse 7 says, not with reluctance or not under compulsion. So I'm not trying to compel you to give this morning. I'm just asking you to consider giving. But there has to be generosity. There has to be eagerness. But I want you to see, thirdly this morning, if you're going to give, there needs to be cheerfulness in your giving. The second part of verse 7 says, for God loves a cheerful giver. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite anybody that wants to come down and be saved, or anybody that wants to come join the church. I'm going to invite you to bring your harvest offering this morning. And if you aren't prepared to give, I understand that. If you aren't able to give, I certainly understand that. We'll have the baskets. We'll stay here for a couple of weeks. Or if you want to bring your offering to the office this week, you're welcome to do that. There are baskets back there, back in the corners, up front here. But my encouragement to you today is if you're going to give, don't give grudgingly, and don't give with a reluctant spirit this morning, but let your giving, let your investment into the kingdom of God at Lonsdale Baptist Church, let it be a source of joy for you. Let it be a source of pleasure and worship and delight for you, because that's what God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. I'm not asking you to give this morning until it hurts. I'm asking you to give until it feels good, until it feels right. Whatever God's laid on your heart to give, you give this morning, but give with generosity, give with eagerness, give with cheerfulness. And I want you to see fourthly and finally, the fourth principle that Paul shares in the verses this morning, there needs to be an attitude of thankfulness in your gift. Look at verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And so in their prayers for your own hearts, you will go out because of the surpassing greatness that God has given to you. Now notice verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. See the thankfulness there? Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. What an amazing, what an incredible gift God has given us in the form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us His best, His one and only Son, because He does not want us to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. So the greatest gift this world has ever known is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift. Have you ever been thankful, truly thankful for the gift of Jesus? There's no way to even describe your gratitude and your thanksgiving. There's never been a preacher who's preached who could fully describe it. There's never been a song that's composed that could fully sing of the indescribability of His gift. There's never been a poem or a story or sentence that's ever been written that could fully describe it. It is indescribable. It's impossible to put in the words the full measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like trying to contain the full Atlantic Ocean in a thimble. The greatest gift this world has ever known is the person, the power, and the blood of Jesus. And the only way that we can respond to Jesus is to look at heaven and say, thank you. I can't describe it. I can't put it into words. I can only know how it makes my heart feel. And I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. Jesus is the greatest gift this world has ever given. God has ever given to this world. And there's no figure on a check that you could put that would ever even come close to the gift that God has given us in the form of His Son. You cannot outgive God. And one day our lives are going to end on this earth, should Jesus tarry and not return in our lifetime. Our lives on this earth, they're going to end. And we're going to stand before Jesus one day. And I can't think of any better way to be greeted by Him other than for Him to say, well done, cheerful giver. You invested a lot into my kingdom on the earth, and now you'll inherit a lot in my kingdom in heaven. What better way to be greeted by the Lord Jesus other than for Him to say, well done, good and faithful giver. Welcome home. Let's be cheerful in our giving this morning. Let's pray together. Well, Father, The fact that I'm sweating this morning tells me how uncomfortable I am just asking your people to consider to give. But Lord, they're not giving to me, they're giving to you. They're giving to your property, to your house. We just want this church, Lord, to magnify you and to be a lighthouse in this community. And so, Father, I pray that you would prompt us to give this morning. I pray that you would prompt us to give our harvest offering, not with reluctance or not with bitterness this morning, but, Lord, the figure that you put in our mind, I pray that you would allow us to follow through in obedience this morning. It's not equal giving, Father, but it's equal sacrifice. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help your people to be generous here this morning. Lord, if there's one here that's never been saved, I pray, God, that you would do the work of salvation in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd send them down during the invitation and bring them to us. And Lord, if there's someone here that's looking for a church to join, I pray that you would bring them to us this morning. We'd be thrilled. Lord, maybe there's someone here that just needs prayer. Lord, we'd be honored to pray with them. Whatever you're calling us to do today, help us to be obedient. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Stand to your feet. You come give your harvest offering. If you want to respond to the invitation, Rick's standing over there. I'm standing over here. You come as the Lord leads you to come.